Will I be accepted? It's not the kind of question that sits there on the forefront of your mind, but it lurks down in the depths, and you only notice it rise to the surface when the occasion calls for it. Will I be accepted? I suppose it begins on the playground. There's a group of kids playing some game on the jungle gym, and you wonder, if I ask to join in, will they let me play in their reindeer games? Will I be accepted? Perhaps you can remember it bubbling up to the surface during middle school gym class. Oh, middle school gym class. You're standing out on a field, and the captains are picking their teams, and there's a game of kickball that's about to begin, and you wonder, am I going to be chosen for one of those teams? Am I acceptable? And in adolescence, it only accelerates. Will I be invited to that party? Welcomed into that clique? Chosen for that part in the school play? Selected to sing that solo? Good enough for the first string? Smart enough for the National Honor Society? Will I be found acceptable? And of course, it just continues on into adulthood. Will I be accepted into that college? Will I be invited to join that fraternity or that sorority? If I ask that girl out, will she turn me down? Will I get that job? Will I get that promotion that I've been hoping for? Will I be found to be acceptable? I find that even those who claim not to care about such things, even they still have that universal human question deep down inside. Will I be accepted? Then, of course, there's the ultimate question of acceptability. Will I be accepted by the one who made me? When I draw my last breath, will I be found to be acceptable? It's not a question that's fixed in the forefront of our minds, but make no mistake about it, down there, deep inside, it's a question that begs to be answered. Jesus once told a parable about two men, one who thought himself to be acceptable and another who knew that he was not acceptable to God, but there's a surprise at the end. When the parable concludes, Jesus declares one of the two men to be acceptable and the other to be unacceptable, but just like the ending in a good whodunit, it's not who you might at first think. The parable opens with Jesus taking us into the temple in Jerusalem. It's the most holy place in all of Judaism. Both a Pharisee and a tax collector come in to pray. As for the Pharisee, well, if the church were a fraternity or a sorority, then the rush committee would be falling all over themselves to try and get this guy in for membership. After all, the leaders of the congregation are going to love this Pharisee. He's respectable and upstanding. He's not the sort of person to put up with any kind of nonsense. The treasurer is going to love him as well. He tithes. He gives 10%. Just imagine if you could fill a whole church with persons who gave 10% of everything they received. Why, I imagine you could double, triple, or quadruple the budgets of some churches. The treasurer is going to love this guy. So the leaders love him, the treasurer will love him, and the clergy are going to love him as well because he shows up for worship every time the doors are open. He knows God's word inside and out. Sure, he might not be the life of the party, but you won't have to worry about him stirring up any trouble or causing a problem. In short, this Pharisee is the sort of person who belongs in the temple there in Jerusalem. If there's anyone who's acceptable to God, surely it would be him. But then you got this other guy. I don't know where to begin with this other guy. It's almost impossible for us here in the 21st century to appreciate just how despicable this tax collector would have been to every person who was listening to Jesus tell this parable. The only way for us to get there is to use our imaginations, because you see, none of us, I dare say, have ever lived in a time or a place where our home nation has been held under the thumb of a cruel, occupying nation. To get into the hearts and minds of the original hearers, you've got to imagine that some godless foreign nation has conquered our nation. You've got to imagine their soldiers patrolling our streets, but not to keep us safe. No, they're there to protect the interests of the occupying government. In fact, there's a good chance that if one of those soldiers is bored or irritated or just having a bad day, he's likely to take it out on you or someone you love in unspeakable ways. And now imagine that this occupying force has started hiring some of your neighbors to collect their taxes. People you've known, people you grew up with. And worse than that, these neighbors, these tax collectors, have been authorized to line their own pockets by extorting you. And you pay whatever they demand, because you know if you put up a fuss, they will respond, "Ooh, I'd hate to have to get the soldiers involved. Why don't you just pay the bill and we can keep this quiet?" They're turncoats. They take your hard-earned money and they turn it over to their superiors, who use it to fuel the machinery of the occupying force. Your money is paying the salaries of the soldiers who are holding you under their boots. If there's one face that you don't ever want to see in the temple, it's the face of the tax collector. A face you've known since childhood, when you played together in the streets, but those childhood memories are long gone. And if the tax collector has the gall to step foot in the temple, whew, it'll take a force of God to keep your blood from boiling over into some act of violence. If there's anyone who would be unacceptable to God, it's this tax collector. He doesn't belong in the temple. And yet, that's precisely where Jesus puts him. Along with this Pharisee. And both men begin to pray. And as they pray, a window begins to open for us into their hearts. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus: "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get." Back in the 80s and the 90s, there was a certain type of commercial that came on, and each of these commercials ended with a blue screen and a 1-800 number across the top where you could call and place an order for the item that had just been advertised. I can remember one such commercial advertising a greatest hits of country music, and every time the commercial came to a close and that blue screen came up with the 1-800 number, a song by Mac Davis played in the background that could well be the theme song for this Pharisee. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." I suppose you could argue that what this Pharisee says is a prayer of sorts. After all, it does begin with the word God. But it does seem that once he's gotten that formality out of the way, he moves on to other things, namely his accomplishments. And there's a whole stream of I's as this Pharisee begins to recite his resume. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. I." If this Pharisee were presented with a question, Pharisee, are you acceptable to God? He's likely to have replied, well, just look at my works. Surely a man like me would be acceptable to God. I'm not as bad as that other guy. Now, it would be easy for us to slip into becoming judgmental Pharisees of this Pharisee and his ridiculous prayer. It would be easy for us to look down our noses in judgment on him. But friends, what we are being shown here is the prayer of a man who's lost. This is the prayer of a man who thinks that God's acceptance is a thing to be earned by his good works or his good behavior. What Jesus is showing us is the heartbreaking prayer of a man who does not know the God he claims to worship. There's no gratitude for the grace and goodness of God. There's no awareness of God's mercy or forgiveness or of his need for such things. No, in this Pharisee's prayer, we find only two things. A man who's laying out his good works to convince himself, and I suppose to convince God, that he's acceptable on the basis of those works. And we find contempt for other people. I thank God that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector who has the audacity to show his face in the temple. Friends, you see, self-righteousness and contempt always go hand in hand. Wherever there is self-righteousness, there will be contempt. Wherever there is contempt, there will be self-righteousness. And both are a sign that a person is lost. Going back to verse 9, Luke tells us on the front end that this is why Jesus told the parable in the first place. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, that is, acceptable to God, and they treated others with contempt. Hearing this Pharisee pray as he does, it's not difficult to imagine that one of his favorite sayings was probably something along the lines of, you know, I don't suffer fools gladly. Friends, if you've ever said such a thing about yourself, then this is the sort of parable that will send a shiver down your spine. The Pharisee trusted in himself and he held others in contempt, and he was completely and totally lost. Well, the Pharisee isn't the only one who's praying in the temple that day. Over in some obscure corner, off in the dark, off on his own, we see the tax collector making a fool of himself. Because no self-respecting man would beat his chest like this tax collector is doing. And then there's his prayer, so pedestrian, so simple, so unrefined, so from the depths of his heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A simple sentence, that's all it is, a subject, a verb, and an object. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Or to translate it more fully, God, your heart is gracious and merciful. Please, I'm begging you, please, provide a sacrifice that will satisfy your anger that I completely deserve. Please make a way for me to be acceptable to you because I can't do it. If this tax collector had a theme song, it would be that song that was written by Kris Kristofferson, but you probably know the version if you know it, that was sung by Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash sang this song, and he said he thought it was written for him. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Friends, the tax collector sees God for who he truly is. A God of mercy. A God who delights to forgive. A God who suffers fools gladly if only they will turn their hearts to him. After a short and simple prayer, Jesus concludes the parable with these sobering words. I wonder if we recognize just how heavy a thing it is that Jesus is saying. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified, that is, acceptable to God, rather than the other. Throughout the Old Testament, God often describes the prayers of his people in terms of how they smell. It's sort of a strange thing if you think about it, but it's this earthly image. Some prayers are fragrant, a fragrant offering to God, but some prayers are like a stench in his nostrils. The other day I was going into the parish house through the back door, and one of our nursery workers I could see was coming down the hallway. She had a garbage bag in her hands, and as she got closer, she said, "Hold your nose, this bag is full of diapers. If you catch so much as a whiff, it will burn your nostrils." So I held her advice and took her advice and held my nose. Friends, it's not that this Pharisee is just a little off course. No, his prayers and the posture of his heart are offensive to God. They are an affront to God. His prayer leaves a stench in God's nostrils. I tell you, the tax collector went down to his house acceptable to God, accepted by God, but this Pharisee did not. Three applications for us today. First, the God we worship is a God of mercy. He always delights in prayers of a humble heart from a person who knows him. So friends, if you have never prayed a prayer from your heart, a prayer that says, "Lord, I need you. I know that I'm not acceptable on my own, but I also know that you delight in making your people acceptable through the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. So please do that for me." Friends, if you have never prayed a prayer like this tax collector, then today is your day. A day for you to go home in the confidence that God answers your prayers for mercy. He delights in it. You can pray the prayer of the tax collector in the few seconds that it takes you to go down to the altar or to come to a station and put your hands up. "Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner." Second, ask the Holy Spirit to give you eyes to see any spirit of self-righteousness in your heart. That is, "Holy Spirit, I want to be acceptable to God. I want to be like this tax collector, not this Pharisee. So please open the eyes of my heart and show me when, where, and how I'm trying to justify myself. When, where, and how I'm trying to earn your acceptance through my good works and my behavior. Cleanse me of all self-righteousness that I might receive your gracious Christ righteousness," like that old hymn put it, a hymn we just sang. "Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." So Holy Spirit, show me any self-righteousness that I might repent and receive a Christ righteousness. Third, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my heart and show me when, where, and how I treat others with contempt. Father, you suffered fools gladly. You suffered this fool gladly. You suffered me when you sent your son to die for me on the cross, so please grant me the grace to be like you. Show me, Lord God, any spirit of contempt within me that I might repent and have my heart changed. Pray a prayer like the tax collector. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any self-righteousness. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any contempt. So that having humbled yourself to God, my friends, you might go down to your house today justified, accepted, acceptable. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. If there be any here today who have not yet prayed a prayer like this tax collector, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would move in their hearts to pray such a prayer today. And show us, we pray, any spirit of self-righteousness or contempt that dwells within us. Grant us the grace to repent of it, that our hearts might be changed into your likeness. For we ask these things in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.